Welcome back to Thursday's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman. Linda Gassenheimer's back from a food-related voyage. Linda?
Yes, it was a very exciting trip. And
where did you go?
It was actually a conference I went to in Tel Aviv. The food there is so good. I mean, they have all these wonderful fresh vegetables and fruit and hummus out of this world. And it was just great Middle Eastern food. What can I tell you?
Well, it's a holiday weekend here at home. And with Florida's close relationship to Latin and South America, you might want to consider dining on a treat that's quite popular in most every Spanish-speaking land. It's sort of a handheld pie. It can be filled with many delectable ingredients. And it's easily available in many restaurants, convenience stores, and even at home. As usual, chef, author, syndicated columnist, and our friend Linda Gassenheimer has more.
We sure do. So, Bonnie, Joe, you're going to call them wraps. You're going to call them tacos, maybe Jamaican patties. Whatever you call them, they're very, very popular handheld sandwiches. And our guest today is an expert on the ones that we know very well right here in Miami, and they're becoming popular all over the states. They're empanadas. She's Sandra Gutierrez. She's the author of Empanadas, The Handheld Pies of Latin America. And she's going to give us tips on making our own. So let's welcome Sandra Gutierrez. Hello, Sandra.
Hello, Linda, Bonnie, and Joe. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Hi.
Great to have you with us. And, of course, we'd love to have you, our listeners, with us as well. Do you have any questions or comments? Or tell us, what is your favorite empanada? Have you ever made them yourself? Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN.
Or you can email radio at WLRN.org.
And, of course, with us is our favorite wine guy, Fred Tasker. He's joining us by Skype. And Fred gives the wine suggestions for my Dinner in Minutes columns that you can read in the Miami Herald or online. And you can also read Fred's wine column. It's in the Saturday Miami Herald. So, Fred, are we drinking today, or should I ask, or what?
Oh, you shouldn't ask. I'm going to talk about how you should avoid your backyard grill this Memorial Day.
Ah. I do think that perhaps we'll be drinking.
Perhaps. Well, maybe.
Could be.
Maybe a little.
All right. We'll wait and find out. Sandra Gutierrez. Okay, so why did you decide to write a whole book on just one subject, empanadas?
It was an easy book to write because there are so many empanadas per country, and they vary so much by region in Latin America. And I really believe that Latin America is joined together by empanadas. You see, not everybody in Latin America eats tortillas, which is a stereotype that is often believed, but everybody in Latin America at some point or another has tasted an empanada. So I thought it would be a great way to introduce the different nuances and the different Latin cuisines with one single food.
Right. So Sandra, what you're telling me, something that I didn't realize, is that empanadas in each country are different, and they reflect the culture of that country?
Correct. They're very different. They even have different names. In some places, you'll call them pasteles. In other places, you call them molotes or dobladas, depending on what part of Latin America you find yourself in. But empanada means really to wrap in bread. So anything that is contained in pastry, whether it is a bread-like pastry or a gluten-free pastry made entirely with plantains, for instance, would fall into empanada. There are many, many variations.
Well, Sandra, I went and I made your empanada.
Yes, you did, yeah.
Yes.
And one of the empanadas for your book, I picked out the easiest one because it had fewest ingredients. And they must be okay because I saw Joe steal two more of them.
Yeah,
I was trying to save them for the rest of the people here. So tell us, Joe, how
well,
what
and the top
eating
is golden brown. Linda, did you do the old egg wash trip?
I did everything Sandra told me to in the book, and there was an egg wash, and it's a ham and cheese pocket.
I don't even get credit for realizing that.
And what I liked about this, Sandra, is that I made them before I went away on vacation, and I froze them, and I took them out of the freezer, put the egg wash. I did just what we were talking about. Put the egg wash on, and I baked them right from the freezer.
Me so happy.
So as long as you're making the mess to make the dough, make a lot of them and freeze them then.
Right.
Yes, and that's what I try to do in the book. I try to give people instructions to bake them immediately or to bake them whenever they want to. The ones that you're eating are favorite of mine. Those are great for snacks, ham and cheese. Everybody has tried a ham and cheese sandwich in their lives, and this is very traditional throughout Latin America, and it's usually a snack for kids or a lunchbox item. And what I like about creating recipes that people can use later, people can enjoy later, is that sometimes, you know, we want to spend time in the kitchen cooking, and sometimes we just want to walk into at midnight and have a little forbidden snack without anybody finding out. And that's what you can do with a banana.
It sounds like something that you've done in the past.
Oh, it's not me, my husband, my kids.
It's nice to have them on. And the thing is, the dough for this recipe, it's a flaky one. It has cream cheese in it.
It does. It has cream cheese because in Latin America, this is one of the pastry doughs that has gluten, so it's made with flour. And it's usually a butter flour mixture. But in Latin America, it's so hot that we tend to use a lot of cream cheese to raise the ability of the pastry to stay in shape while it goes into a hot oven. So cream cheese allows the texture to be very, very tender. In fact, this dough I was cooking here for my launch party, and one of the chefs in North Carolina, who's a James Beard Award nominee, told me, "Where has this been all my life? Because this dough produces very, very flaky pastry, and it's super simple to make. So you have the almost equivalent to a puff pastry without having to go through all the folding methods back
right,
and forth."
I put it in, very friendly. I put it in the food processor and did what you said. And that was so easy. So tell us then, what are some of your secrets? Because after you've told me the secret of how to make the best one, I want you to tell me how I can make a whole variety of them for this weekend coming up.
Sure. Well, it depends on the dough that you want to select. And what I did in the book is that I chose 10 of the most popular and yet very, very different doughs from one another. Some are completely gluten-free, some are vegan, and some, of course, are your wheat-based recipes. What I suggest is finding the dough that you want to try first and then looking at the filling, because pretty much the filling can vary, can be anything that you have on hand. In Latin America, it usually is some leftovers. But the secrets are to read the ingredients, recipe first before you start, to follow the recipe. This has been tested and retested and retested by so many people that we know they work. And so I've written the recipes in a way that you can follow them step by step, and they should work perfectly in your kitchen no matter the condition. The secret is to measure out your dough into the right size. And then I offer you, as you know, I'm a very practical cook, so I offer you the traditional way of rolling out the dough, but I know that it scares a lot of novice cooks. So what I also do is I created a method by which you can use either a heavy plate or a tortilla press to press a perfect circle. And in order to do that, you need to have...
Sorry, I was just going to ask you, when you say...
Yeah.
You know, so you make the dough, and it comes into a ball, and you say, you know, let's refrigerate it. Let's cool it down so the dough can rest. And then you said you can roll it out with a plate?
Well, you roll it out into balls, and then you flatten it out into discs using a plate or a tortilla press.
Oh,
and you have
right.
perfect rounds, perfect discs. Of course, this is something they would never do in Argentina, and they would never do in Chile, because tortilla presses, again, are only existent in Central America up to Mexico, because they are the only people who consume tortillas. But the method works for most of my doughs, and I let you know all of those kinds of shortcuts that make it easier for you to shape empanadas, and instead of having to plan for 7 hours in the kitchen, get you out of the kitchen in 1 or 2 hours,
and
get all these batches.
What if we just wanted to... Buy some pastry and fill it with some of the fillers.
Mono has an emailer here.
Yes, go ahead.
She says, "My favorite subject, that of empanadas. While one can make empanadas of many types, my favorite's using either turkey, ground beef with green salad, olives, and pimentos on a commercially available empanada disc available at Publix. Mm-hmm. They're 8 inches in diameter. They stay very much in shape as I fry them on a frying pan, and they're yummy."
So wait a minute. So what she's saying is
she doesn't bake them.
You can buy the empanada dough all ready for you.
The disc.
You
can buy the discs, and you can buy them already. They have different sizes. They have 10-inch, 6-inch, and 8-inch. And I will tell you which size your discs have to be in each recipe as well, because all of these recipes can be made with store-bought empanadas. Again, that is for somebody who is in a hurry and they only want to do the fillings. The fillings are usually done a few hours in advance so that they can be congealed and very, very cold, because you never want to put a hot filling into any kind of pastry or it starts melting before you're able to bake it. The beauty of the pre-made discs that you can buy in the freezer section of almost every supermarket in America, and I know for sure in Florida you find them everywhere, is that you can either bake or fry them. And that is perfect, because fried empanadas have a completely different texture than baked empanadas. So baked empanadas have more of a bread-like consistency, and your fried empanadas are the ones that are crunchy and crispy and bubbly.
Should you make the the filling extra spicy because you have the blandness of the dough for the empanada?
Yes, all of your fillings are spiced up so that you can actually feel the flavor of the filling and not have the dough overtake it, because the dough is really just a vehicle to hold that filling and also to keep it from spoiling quickly, which was the original purpose of empanadas.
Sandra, go ahead.
The only thing I wanted to say is that not every Latin country uses spicy hot flavor. So it's not like that you make them spicy hot. For instance, Cubans don't use chiles, so it's not a spicy cuisine. But you add more of that cumin and other kinds of spices and herbs to flavor it more. So yes, so the fillings on their own are delicious, but they may be a little bit overly flavored, which is why I suggest that any leftover filling that you have, as you start practicing to make the empanadas, because the filling has also been measured to make the right number of empanadas, is great on a piece of toast.
Well, that sounds good to me. Has been wonderful. We can go on and on. We're going to have to take a short break here, but I do want to say that these ham and cheese ones I made, it's very easy because it just had some mayonnaise and mustard for the flavoring, and it worked out very well, very simple. We're going to take a short break here. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we're talking about empanadas with Sandra Gutierrez. We'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we've been talking with Sandra Gutierrez about her book, Empanadas, The Handheld Pies of Latin America. And these little handheld sandwiches have become really popular all over the States and beyond. She's been giving us some wonderful tips for to make empanadas and maybe make a whole bunch of different ones for a Memorial Day feast. And the book is wonderful because it gives you absolutely exact directions on how to make them. Because I know I made some and they're gone. They were gone before the show, and now and Bonnie was scraping up the table with all of these. But now it's dinner in minutes time. And today's dinner is a no-cook 15-minute supper, and it's perfect for this holiday weekend, or maybe for any time. It's a layered shrimp salad with a Parmesan crostini. So you can buy shrimp already cooked. So these plump shrimp are placed over a layer of washed, ready-to-eat baby greens that you can buy. You slice some cucumbers, put some corn kernels, some sliced tomatoes, all on the platter. It makes a very pretty, colorful platter. And to make the meal, give the meal a homemade touch, I doctor up some low-fat vinaigrette. I add some chopped onion and fresh or dried tarragon for a new and different kind of flavor. The side dish is really easy. You just get some whole grain baguette slices, sprinkle them with some Parmesan cheese, and toast them for a crisp crostini. It's quick, cool, and a colorful dish.
The good Parmesan cheese.
Is there any other kind?
Well,
of course you
not
buy
the Kraft or something
No, Parmigiano right. Reggiano. It's right. Got to be stamped on the label.
Just okay. Wanted to be sure.
Joe has become such an amazing cook, hasn't he, Bonnie?
Yes, he certainly has worked out these details.
It took a little while, 10 years or more, but whatever. Okay, you can read this complete recipe and a photo. It's at dinnerinminutes.com. So, Fred, you told us we weren't going to drink, and now we are going to drink. So what's going on here, Fred Tasker?
Oh, don't worry. We'll get to the wine very soon. Don't worry about it at all. But if you take a look at my wine column in this Saturday's Miami Herald, and thanks for the plug.
You're welcome.
You'll see that I declare this coming Memorial Day as a grill-free holiday. It's going to be way too hot for a 3,000-degree charcoal fire, I think. So instead, you should have a picnic. And I mean a proper old-fashioned picnic, the kind our great-grandparents used to advertise as all-day singing and supper on the ground. You go to a grassy park or a beach or on a boat. You pack a wicker basket with food and a cooler with, you guessed it, wine.
Okay, I was waiting for that.
We'll get there. And the best food for a picnic, of course, is cold fried chicken and potato salad. And the finest wine for a picnic like that, as Linda knows, is...
Uh-oh, here it comes.
Champagne.
There you go.
Sparkling wine, cava, spumante, prosecco, in other words, bubbly. And you want it good and cold, so you want to nestle it right down in the crushed ice in your cooler. And take real glasses, none of that plastic stuff, and you can nestle them right down in the ice as well and keep the bubbly nice and crisp. Although I suppose this is not your only option. If you make a picnic sandwiches, chicken salad, egg salad, and such, you could have a nice, cool, lightweight white wine like Pinot Grigio, or a richer white like Chardonnay if you splurge on a lobster salad sandwich, or even for Linda's shrimp pasta salad. Or now that I think of it, that would go very nicely with Sandra's empanadas as well.
Sounds good to me, yeah.
And if you do want red meat, my favorite would be cold roast beef on thick chunks of rye bread slathered in green peppercorn mustard. Oh, that sounds so good.
You're making us all even more hungry, Fred Tasker.
See, you guys eat the empanadas, and I didn't get any, so I've got
a
dream.
Nice medium rare beef.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And for that, you'd want a light-bodied red like Beaujolais or Pinot Noir, and under these circumstances, you could nestle them right down in the ice, too, and drink them nice and cool. And then finally, if you make a dessert of fresh fruit, from strawberries to watermelon, a nice cool rosé wine would be great. Oh, and if it rains, just stay home and do the whole picnic on your family room rug. That might be even better because you can catch a ball game on the TV at the same time. So anyway, have a good Memorial Day.
Okay, sounds very good, Fred Tasker. So, Sandra Gutierrez, your empanada book is just wonderful. With the big weekend coming up, can you give us some idea of, which empanadas would you like to see on Memorial Day?
You know, the Chilean empanadas, called empanadas de pino, are fabulous. They're filled with chopped beef and egg and raisins and olives. It's a very classic combination that comes from the Ottoman Empire into the Americas through Spain. And everybody is familiar with some kind of picadillo or other. And it's like a picadillo, but it's highly spiced. And they're wonderful because they keep their shape, their envelope shape, and they're enough. A couple of them will make a whole meal. They're pretty big. And they're shaped like little envelopes, which makes it very easy for everybody to hold and to eat holding on to the edge also without, you know.
So what was the name of it again?
I like the idea of a picnic. It's called hand-cut beef, egg, and green onion empanadas. In Argentina, they're known as empanadas tucumanas. In Argentina, they have thousands of variations of this kind of an empanada. So this is just one. Page 66 of my book. It's a great empanada to take. And, of course, don't forget your dessert. The picnic menus that Fred was talking about were wonderful, and it made me think of the tiny caramel and apple empanadas.
Well, I was going to ask you about that, Sandra, because...
A dessert empanada, that's great.
I mean, I always think of empanadas as savory, and just before we get to the dessert, I wanted to say that... you mentioned picadillo and all that, and I suspect that you really need to make sure that your filling is cold before it goes into the dough, correct?
Completely.
Yeah, completely cold.
I suggest people make the filling at least 4 hours ahead.
Okay. Now tell me, and dessert, empanadas, that would sound like really delicious.
They're wonderful. Again, in every country, you know, you have different times of day and different occasions for which you will eat empanadas, and dessert time is very important. Also, coffee time or mate time in Argentina, like cafecito, as we know it in Latin America. And tiny empanadas make great desserts. And these particular caramel apple pies are actually filled with dulce de leche. And you will find them in Argentina and Uruguay. And it's like a miniature apple pie with this creamy caramel sauce inside. They're really delicious. But in Brazil, what I love about Brazilian empanadas called pastéis or pastéis is that they have a dough that is very crispy. You almost roll it out like pasta. You can roll it out, actually, with a rolling pin, but it rolls out like very thin pasta. You stuff it with fruit. Normally, you can use the very classic Latin guava and cream cheese combination that you see in Cuba throughout Latin America, or banana smashed with cinnamon and a little bit of sugar.
Well, let me ask you, because Sorry, we only have a short time left, but you know, you're talking about apples and fruit and all. They get very wet. I mean, the liquid from the apple comes out. How do you protect the dough?
The way that you protect it is first that the apple filling is cooked ahead of time and you put them in cold. These actually do not keep when they're baked.
Right.
But the other great thing to use is just jam. Any kind of your favorite jam and a little bit of cheese.
This
whether
is sounding
it's blanco
so,
or cream cheese.
Yeah,
so delicious.
Good.
But we're out of time. We could go on and on and on. This has been very interesting. Sandra Gutierrez, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you all for having me. I appreciate it.
Her book is Empanadas, The Handheld Pies of Latin America. Delicious read. Fred Tasker, great advice as always.
Always a pleasure.
Joe and Bonnie, have a good weekend coming up.
Thank you, and thank you for cooking.
Right,
it's
next
been
week,
a while.
Next week, we'll be talking with Eric Repair. He's the celebrity chef and co-owner of the 3-star Michelin restaurant in New York City, Le Bernardin. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.